Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word rightly divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 3. We've been looking at verse number 5, which says, "For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain." And we spent the last couple episodes really looking at this issue of the tempter tempting the individual, trying to pull people away from the doctrine that's been given to us by the Apostle Paul, pulling people away from the gospel message for today, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures, and how someone puts their trust in that and that alone is what gives someone salvation today. This is what Paul was worried about, individuals being pulled away from and that temptation happening. And you see it as he closes out this verse, the issue of where he takes it back to the thing of our labor be in vain. And he's talking about the work that they were doing in the ministry, preaching this message to individuals, and how they had been going around, you know, city by city, preaching the message of the grace of God. And you see, Paul will actually identify some things related to the idea of how that labor actually occurs and what this actually means for individuals. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 to see where Paul is going to make a reference here to this idea of a labor that occurs for individuals and how this coincides with what God would have individuals to do. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, we start here, verse number 1, says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." Now we're going to stop there for a moment. We're going to continue on going through some things in this chapter. And you see how Paul starts off this idea of talking about this ministering that he was doing. And he talks about how he had given them milk at this time because they were not able to bear the things of meat, and then saying that they're still not in a position to actually be able to bear the meat. Now, you see, if you read over in the book of Hebrews, you see how the author of the book of Hebrews uses some similar terminology talking about things of the Word of God and comparing the things of that there's the milk issue, that there's some basic things that an individual needs to understand. And once they're able to understand those things, then they're able to move on to the things of the meat, the more advanced things that actually occur. Now, when Paul's saying here, talking to this assembly in Corinth, that he had given them only milk and that they still were not able to bear the things of meat, that means that the things that we see in 1 Corinthians are really things of milk. These are basic things that an individual needs to understand related to this doctrine. So as we continue in this passage, we're going to be seeing here, and really this is going to apply all the way through the book of 1 Corinthians, that Paul is laying out some of these very basic things for these individuals to understand. But we're going to be picking up here about this labor thing in verse number 3, which says, "For ye are yet carnal, For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So that neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So when we talk about this issue of the laboring work, building upon things, we see how the central thing of that all of the things are built upon is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, we always have to understand if it's Paul writing to us, the members of the body of Christ, and he's talking about Jesus Christ, he's talking about the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, according to the doctrine that's been given unto him that we find in Romans through Philemon. This is the only foundation that we can build upon in this dispensation. It's the only thing that we can actually make sure that if we're going to be doing the things that are pleasing unto God, if we're going to be carrying out this labor that Paul is speaking of, then we can only build upon that foundation of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. And I say that because there is another way to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a preaching of Jesus Christ according to the prophetic program, according to the things of what prophecy had laid out. And we'll hold our hand here. We're going to turn over to Romans chapter number 15 just to show these two contrasts of the way of preaching the Lord Jesus Christ here. And in Romans 15, we see here verse number 8, which is going to be talking about the Lord Jesus Christ according to the prophetic program here. Paul says, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers." The ministry that we see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is all according to this issue of confirming the promises made unto the fathers, confirming the information that we find in Genesis through Malachi, preaching the message to the nation of Israel, promising them that the kingdom was going to be established, that they were going to be that kingdom of priests and holy nation, all of those prophetic promises that had been given, that every single one of them was guaranteed that it would actually occur. Now, that's a different way of looking at the Lord Jesus Christ compared to what we see if we skip down a few verses here in chapter 15, down to verse number 16, where Paul's going to be talking about what was given unto him. Verse 16 says, "That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost." That's a completely different message than we see in verse number 8 of the promises made unto the fathers, that there's a gospel that's related to the offering up of the Gentiles. The individuals that, when you look at in time past, that were considered to be dogs, that were considered to be outside of all the promises that were given to the nation of Israel, which is what's that message that the Lord Jesus Christ was preaching. That's why you see him in the Gospels telling them to go not but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That was the program. You know, that's completely different than what we see in Romans through Philemon. And Paul, identifying the responsibility that he had, you see him talk about how in Ephesians chapter number 3 that he sees his responsibility as to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. That's the responsibility that he had. And as part of that responsibility is this issue of him identifying that we are laborers together with God. That there's work that has to be done with the individuals ministering unto the other members of the body of Christ. And that's when we talk about the responsibility that we have coming together as a local assembly. It's the edification, the building up of each other, the exhortation, the encouragement, and the raising up of that next generation of leaders. That way, the elderships, that way individuals can be able to be there to keep preaching this message to the next generation, and then they will be able to do the same thing and keep the message of the grace of God going, sharing it with others, that way they can be able to share that message as well. And you see how the focus, even when we are functioning properly and laboring together with God, that the focus never comes unto us and the work that we're doing. The focus always goes back to him. That's why Paul can talk about and identify the fact that he gloried in nothing save the cross. That is where Paul could see his glory being, is that it only comes from what was accomplished on the cross at Calvary, taking care of the issue of sin for us. So that way we don't have to worry about, you know, being in a position where we could be outside of God's will, that we could lose our salvation. All those different things that individuals worry about because of the doctrine that is being taught to them, that is not what is given to the Apostle Paul for us today. And you see how Paul can talk about the functioning together in this labor. If we go over to Ephesians chapter number 4 and see how Paul's going to describe something here related to the body functioning properly. And here in Ephesians chapter number 4, we're going to read here verse number 16, which says, "For from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." And Paul describing the body functioning and about how the whole body of Christ is fitly joined together, that the body of Christ is perfectly joined and perfectly positioned to where it can function properly according to the message laid out in Romans 2 Philemon, according to the grace of God, and how the body, as is fitly joined together, we see this issue of by that which every joint supplies, that there's an edification process that comes about, and that every member of the body of Christ is responsible for this happening. All members of the body of Christ should be working together, functioning, laboring, doing all the things that God intends for us to do. So when Paul can look at this assembly in Thessalonica and start trying to see, you know, what it is that they're doing, he's trying to make sure, and as he describes here in the verse, it says that our labor that be in vain, that he's trying to make sure that what Paul, Silas, and Timothy were doing, ministering unto them, and all the things that they were doing, that none of it was in vain related to the care of this assembly. Now, when we look at that word vain, and I want to read here some definitions, and again, as when we look at these definitions of words that we find in Scripture, we tend to look at the 1828 dictionary, and the reason why we do that is, you know, the words that we have in our King James Bible, that the last, you know, when you look at things, you know, and people say it's a 1611 edition, you know, there are some small changes that actually occurred, and it's, and when I say changes, it's actually spelling corrections, it's, you know, typographical errors that have occurred, that the last updating of things related to any of those, you know, small things that had to be adjusted occurred in 1769. So the 1828 dictionary, this is, you know, a thing of where this is 59 years away from this. So this is a very close dictionary related to saying that these are the exact meanings of these words here. So when we look at the idea of vain, we see here in the first definition is given as empty, worthless, having no substance, value, or importance. And, you know, three verses that are actually tied into that meaning that's found in the 1828 dictionary. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, Psalm 39, verse 6, and Psalm 2, verse 1. The second definition here is fruitless or ineffectual. The third one that's given, it says, proud of petty things or of trifling attainments, elated with a high opinion of one's own accomplishments, or things more showy than valuable, conceited. The fourth definition, empty or unreal. Number five, showy or ostentatious. The sixth definition, light, inconstant, worthless. And a verse that would go along with that is Proverbs chapter 12, verse 11. The seventh one, empty or unsatisfying. Eight, false, deceitful, non-genuine, spurious. A verse going along with that is James chapter 1, verse 26. And then the ninth one here, not effectual, having no efficacy. And two verses that go along with that, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 13, and Matthew chapter 15, verse 9. So when we look at these definitions and say, okay, which of these would be the best ones that would actually line up with what the Apostle Paul is talking about, it would go along with, you know, what we're seeing in definitions 1 and 2 here. Let me just read those again very quickly. You know, the first one being empty, worthless, having no substance, value, or importance. And the second one, fruitless or ineffectual. And the idea that Paul's trying to get across is that he wanted to make sure that their labor among these saints, you know, was not fruitless. It was not an empty work that, because, you know, looking at him and saying, well, we went and we preached this message and, you know, it had no effect on them. They weren't saved. Or, you know, some of the other things that you see happening in some of these other assemblies where individuals very quickly turned away from what Paul was actually ministering unto, turning away from the gospel, the grace of God. And when Paul looks at it from this aspect of things, you can see how he starts to describe the things that are going on. Let's go over to the book of Ephesians. We'll go to Ephesians chapter number 2. And we're going to look at a verse describing something here and about, you know, the role that the opposition takes in things. So we're going to read verse 2 of Ephesians 2. It says, wherein time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We'll read verse 3 as well. It says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, and the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And Paul, looking at what's going on here, talking to this assembly in Ephesus, brings up the issue of, you know, the prince of the power of the air, Satan, functioning, and how what Satan's doing, that everything that he's trying to minister, the individuals identified as being the children of disobedience, Satan is continuing to work in them. Satan's continuing to keep them away from what the truth of God's word actually says, and how Satan is, you know, and we looked at that tempter tempting them, trying to take them away from the truth. That's what Paul was trying to make sure wasn't going to happen to this assembly, because if it happened to them, then all the work that he had done with them, he's identifying and saying it was in vain, based on the fact that they had possibly had turned away from that message. Now, we see Paul also make a reference to this. If we go over to Galatians chapter number 2, and we're going to see as Paul is writing to this assembly in Galatians chapter number 2, that he's going to be describing some events that happened in Jerusalem here. And as he's describing this, you see the very beginning of how he describes this. So we read the first two verses of Galatians chapter 2, which says, then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. So when he goes unto Jerusalem at this point, that he goes, he's going to speak to the individuals who are the leaders of the program related to the nation of Israel. So this is going to be something happening very early in Paul's ministry. You know, and when I say it's very early in Paul's ministry, it's also the fact that, you know, Barnabas is part of this. So we see in the book of Acts that by the time Acts chapter 15 happens, that Barnabas is no longer part of that ministry with the Apostle Paul. So what we're going to see here, this is going to actually be Paul's account of what's actually occurring in Acts chapter number 15 and how he goes unto them. And, you know, rather than having this public display of, you know, you present your facts, you know, I'm going to present mine of what's going on, and we're going to just let everyone hear thing and make decisions on it, that Paul says that he went privately to them. And he went privately to them to discuss his ministry, so that way his ministry could continue to remain effectual. Now, we know that if he's going into Jerusalem, that everyone there is part of Israel's program. And Israel's program, you know, everything that we find in Genesis through Malachi and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the things that you see happening in the book of Acts, you know, that all of that is contrary to what we find in Romans through Philemon. You know, Peter could never say to someone that you've been made free from the law. The Apostle Paul could say that, and Paul could say that because, you know, the scriptures clearly identify it. Peter could never say that, you know, his followers have already received forgiveness, because their forgiveness was waiting until the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Paul can say that because our forgiveness is based upon what he did at the cross. And so Paul knew that if he had went there and had just kind of, you know, I'm just going to make a big scene and try to say things to have a reaction from people, that it was not going to work out for his ministry. It was going to have a negative impact on things, and it would cause his ministry, as he says, to be vain or empty. So he needed to make sure that he was doing the right things, and by doing the right things meant that he was going to have to do this in private, so that way his message would not be in vain. And when we go about and we're trying to preach this message to individuals, part of our preaching is that we want to try to do everything we can to make sure that our preaching this message is not in vain. You know, we want to have the Word of God have an impact in individuals. And the Word of God has that impact by the fact that we start with the gospel message. We start with the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. Because if you do not start there, and a person's not saved, the Word of God cannot have any effect on them. And just preaching the message to somebody who's not saved and trying to just, well, I'm just going to prove this, I'm going to try to prove this from the Scriptures, it's really of none effect. It is vain, empty work that is going on. Now, in our next episode, we're going to actually start and pick up in verse number 6 of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. But as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday services. We have information about how to watch our services live on Facebook, how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. You know, our Bible study actually has shifted in the last couple weeks. It was starting at 8 o'clock on Wednesdays. It is now starting at 7:30. So, you know, if you wanted to join us, you'll be joining us a half hour early with that as well. And as always, if you have any questions, comments about anything on our broadcast, anything on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.